Hi, I'm Marie.
And I'm Emily.
And we're registered dietitians who love to look at the research when it comes to all things diets and supplements.
With years of working with professional and collegiate athletes, we've seen it all, and we're here to set the record straight.
On this podcast, we break down popular diets and supplements to let you know what's legit
and what's BS.
RDs versus BS podcast. Today we have an episode that I did not know how crazy and insane this topic was going to get until we dug more and more deeper into it. But wow. I mean, it was like, woo. Today we are talking about Gwen Shamblin. She was the owner of the Way Down Workshop, which was a religious diet plan, and basically how that grew into a very cult-like church that she created that was essentially centered around being thin. Honestly, Emily, I think the craziest thing about this whole story is how recently this all happened.
Yes.
This isn't like, oh, you know, this happened in the 1960s. Like, we watched a documentary on HBO. It was called... Shit, what's it called?
The Way Down, spelled W-A-Y, God, Greed, and the Cult of Gwen Shamblin.
Yes, so we started there with that. She still has a website up. This isn't a spoiler, but she did pass away in a plane accident in 2021. So even in 2021, this church, this weight management for Jesus program, like all this was going strong. This was a very successful church and program. So we're going to get into all of that today. But yes, essentially today we are talking about a diet plan that was centered around being thin for God, which is not anything
first for us.
Anything we have discussed before. So yeah, very excited to get into it. This is a crazy story. But before we get into everything, as always, if you like our podcast, please be sure to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating on Spotify, and send us any topic suggestions by DMing us on our Instagram at RDs_VS_BS_pod or our contact page from our website, RDsVersusBS.com. And if you are interested in getting healthier without dieting, without us telling us you that you are not being obedient to God, if you are not rail thin, you know, all that BS, we are currently accepting one-on-one clients. You can learn more by contacting us under the Work With Us tab on our website, RDsVersusBS.com. All right, before we delve into just this utter shit show of a topic today, Emily, let's start things light and breezy with some shit you saw at the grocery store.
Yeah, so I got by something that shouldn't have gotten me, but it 100% did. I was at CVS and I'm all frustrated because everything is so expensive these days. And I saw that Bonza, the people who make the chickpea pasta, have a mac and cheese. And it's a cute box and it's really bright. And I'd been craving mac and cheese and I knew that, you know, oh, Bonza has more fiber and more protein. And so it was $4.99 and I bought it anyway because I was hungry, which again, never go shopping when you're hungry. I bring it home and I realize I'd already bought a mac and cheese box from Trader Joe's. I wanted to compare the two because surely the Bonza mac and cheese is going to be totally different macro wise. And I cannot tell you how disappointed I was. So what I was really looking for here was protein and fiber because that I just assumed would be more in the Bonza. So for the Bonza one, the fiber is 5 grams. For Trader Joe's, it is 4 grams. So hardly a difference there. And the protein, like, surely this is where Bonza will win. The Bonza had 15 grams of protein and the Trader Joe's had 10. So, like, yes, there's a 5-gram protein difference, but I could literally get that by eating 2 spoonfuls of Greek yogurt on the side. You know, it's not worth going out of your way to find this, like, quote unquote healthy, high fiber, high protein mac and cheese that probably doesn't taste as good. I haven't had it yet. I'll let you know, but it probably doesn't taste as good as the Trader Joe's one. But yeah, and it was so expensive too. I don't know what I paid for the Trader Joe's one, but I know it wasn't $5. Even the Trader Joe's one, they don't pretend like it's healthy. It's just shells and white cheddar mac and cheese. But the Bonza one, you know, made with chickpea pasta, gluten-free, low glycemic index, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at the macros, they are so like almost exactly the same. Which is really sad.
Yeah, so, definitely not worth. Like, if you are eating a lot of pasta, that extra couple bucks is going to add up over time.
Yes, and there are way, you know, cheaper ways to get 5 extra grams of protein. Like I said, it's like 2 bites of Greek yogurt.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to get into this?
Ooh, I'm ready.
I feel like I need to like mentally like woosah myself.
Yes, we're going to, you know, just strap in and we're along for the ride here because there is so much to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, do we need to give a disclaimer? Like, obviously, we're a nutrition podcast and we debunk a lot of weight loss related topics. But I feel like this one is especially like disclaimer. We're going to be talking about eating disorders. We're going to be talking about extreme restriction. We're going to be I mean, we might not brush on it, but this... The documentary, I mean, it was more than just people's weights that she was controlling. And there was a lot of like child abuse type stuff going on, domestic violence. We may or may not like get to those topics, but they might get brought up kind of just as we're talking through this community as a whole that they created. So just a warning, like these topics will be discussed. And it's a lot. Like I did not expect this level of crazy.
Yeah, it's real crazy. And just like you said earlier, I was surprised that it happened so recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Definitely something. Yeah, I could imagine it happening 50, 60, 70 years ago, but kind of scary with how recent it was. The whole episode is about a woman named Gwen Shamblin. And she is the one who created, first and foremost, like her first big thing she did, 1986, created a weight loss program called Way Down, W-E-I-G-H, Way Down. And that's where she started getting a platform. Like we mentioned earlier, Way Down had a lot to do with faith and God and losing weight for God. And then in 1999, Gwen started her own church called Remnant Fellowship. So that's where things start getting real weird. I'd really say the backbone of all of it is Way Down, which mm-hmm. is her diet. But we're going to talk about more than just that.
Yeah. Starting off with Gwen, one of the things that really irks me is that Gwen is a dietitian. I was like,
that's the worst part.
What are we doing?
The worst part. Like her story lines up with ours very closely. You know, she was a dietitian, had her master's. She worked at University of Tennessee. She was even a consultant and a faculty member at Memphis State for 5 years. Like, and that kind of brings us, you know, we've been dietitians a little bit longer than that, but like that kind of brings us to where we are right now. And then she started all this craziness.
Emily, I've been saying we need to just start a bullshit diet. We will. This woman was so rich by the end. Okay. So anyways, like Emily said, in 1986, she started the Way Down workshop. Now, it's not like she just woke up one day and said, oh, you know how I'm going to con a bunch of people into losing weight? With Jesus, with God. She'd been a devout Christian her entire life. She was raised in a very like strict religious household, right? So it was something that was already a part of her life. But the basic idea of the Way Down workshop is that you were supposed to learn how to portion control and keep yourself from overeating and overindulging by every time that you had a craving for something that you felt like wasn't good and wasn't nourishing your body, rather than eating, you would just pray. You were supposed to give it to God, say, God, take this, you know, craving away from me. I shouldn't be eating this, blah, blah, blah. And that was basically the whole diet plan is if you're feeling hungry, if you're feeling like you're about to overindulge, don't eat, just pray. Just pray it away. Pray the cravings away. I get why in 1986 this would be something that caught on, because this was sort of around the same time that there was a lot of restrictive diets on the market of like, you can't eat this, don't ever eat pizza, don't ever eat sugar, whatever it is. The whole kind of premise of this diet is there's nothing that's off limits. There's no food that's bad, but you should be able to put down a candy bar mid-eating it and say, I'm good, I don't want any more. You should be able to take a bite of pizza and just put it down and just simply not want any more than what you need. Mm-hmm. And so it was very attractive to a lot of people. And a lot of people interviewed in the documentary said, like, it was the first diet program that said, like, nothing's off limits. You can eat the fried chicken, you can eat the pizza, but you can eat a bite or two, and then God will take away your want and desire to continue eating that food. So that was the premise of the diet. I would understand the coming at it at, you know, I'm familiar with like Christianity, like the, you know, the body's your temple. And they talk about, she talks about that, like your body's your temple. You should be like giving your body to God. Your body's not your own. And so like, you should be taking care of it for God. I understand taking that concept and then making it, and therefore like, let's focus on healthful lifestyle practices. Let's move. Let's eat good, healthful foods. Let's, you know, nourish our body appropriately, blah, blah, blah. But she just took it way too far, you know, because it was not about nourishing your body. It was about how small can you make your body. That's immediately what it became. It very, very quickly became a ministry of this diet, where you basically, anytime that you're feeling a craving or feeling hungry, you should just turn to God and pray and basically just wait for the hunger to go away. She said that at one point, unless your tummy was rumbling, that you didn't need to be eating food. You didn't need to be thinking about food. If you thought about food when your tummy wasn't rumbling, you needed to just lift that thought to God and tell God to take the food thoughts away. And that your body would be able to eat itself. Like basically there was one woman that said she would teach, you've already eaten an excess of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so you don't need any more of them. Your body will just eat the ones that you've already eaten. AKA eat your body fat. And it's not until you get extreme hunger pangs and tummy rumbling that you should feed your hunger in any way.
It's so crazy. And just with the wait till your stomach's grumbling to eat, that is something also that doesn't happen to all people. Mm-hmm. You know, that is such like hunger manifests in many different ways for different people. But this is like a hard and fast rule is, if your stomach's grumbling, then you can eat and only until you're full. It's so crazy. I feel like I want to go through just some of the quotes that I found on her website that she said in the actual HBO series, just around the whole diet plan.
And a reminder, this still exists. You can still go on the website.
Yeah.
You can still buy the book. You can still sign up for the workshops. Like, this is still a thing.
Still a thing. Yes. So yeah, these are just some things. One quote that Gwen said was that God used me. I teach people how to stop bowing to the fridge and bow down to him. Like, this is the kind of rhetoric that is in all over the website, all over the HBO series. She says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor your body. Every time you want to go to food, run to God. Like, it sounds like a joke, but it's not. Like, she's very serious about this. And people were like all bought in. One thing that I found was interesting, and I don't know a whole, like, I was raised Catholic, but I don't know a whole lot about like the evangelical church. But they talked about it a little in the series about how many of these churches and the church where Gwen was raised, the Church of Christ, I think it was called, they believe the Bible like word for word, like very literally. And apparently there's a part of the Bible where Jesus declares that all foods are clean. And she'll use this all the time. She'll use this line a lot to say, Jesus declared all foods clean. When I went to school to be a dietitian, you know, they taught us that there were foods that aren't healthy And that's just not true, because Jesus said in Mark 7 that all foods are clean. And so because of that, she really like threw away much of what she'd learned being a dietitian and went to, well, you can eat whatever you want, but you can only have, you know, a couple bites of it. Mm-hmm. So that was a whole piece that I found was really, really interesting.
She didn't even stop there. Then it very quickly devolved into your body size is a direct representation of your obedience to God. And this yes. is where it gets really fucked up, because you're by the fact that it is a Christian based program, like you're pretty much only drawing in Christians. Like there's probably not an atheist off the street that's like, hey, this diet plan is going to work for me. Right. So you're literally only targeting people of faith who wholeheartedly believe that now that you're creating this program that, oh, well, my fatness is a representation of my gluttony and my sin. She literally called it a sin at one point. So it is great. It became very quickly this like very, very disgusting, taking advantage of people's faith. The fact that obviously like anybody who worships the Christian faith is going to want to build and foster that relationship with God. And she's literally telling them, by being fat, you are not obedient to him. And I mean, hello, like eating disorder city, like don't even know the words for it. That is so manipulative. Again, you're taking people that already have that faith in God and you're saying, hey, well, biblically, like you're being a sinner by being in the body that you're in because you're using food as an addiction and you're using food as a god and as an idol instead of worshiping God, like Jesus and God. And yeah, like that is so again, if it had just been like, hey, you know, the Bible says your body's a temple, so like let's eat it with fill it with wholesome foods, you know, like that's fine. And I feel like there are churches that preach that, but like she was like, hey, your body's a temple, and so therefore you have to be rail thin. You shouldn't put anything in your mouth unless you're like literally starving. And if you're fat, you're disobedient to God. And that was basically what the Weight On workshop was teaching you.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah, you mentioned eating disorders earlier. This was one piece that really stood out to me that I got. They don't talk about it too much in the documentary, but on the website, they say Way Down is a revolutionary faith-based approach to overcoming obesity, overweight, and other eating disorders. So I read that and immediately, you know, red flags are going because Marie, we've talked about it before, but like if someone has a diagnosed eating disorder, this isn't something that can just be treated by anything and anyone. It should be treated by a physician and a psychiatrist and a dietitian who has been trained specifically in eating disorders. So whenever a diet claims that it's going to help you overcome eating disorders, huge red flag. Mm-hmm. It actually caused a ton of eating disorders right. from the people who talked in the documentary, like the people who had been a part of this and been a part of the church and left
yeah,
because of it. There was even a testimonial. It's the first one on the website. And it says, I've tried bulimia. I've tried Weight Watchers. I've tried every diet. And the Way Down is the only thing that worked for me. And I'm like, what kind of language is that? I tried bulimia. Right.
It's not a diet.
To be taken yeah. All, yeah.
That's the first testimonial on the website. Like it's like yes. bold, like Sally G, I don't know what the person's name says, like I tried bulimia and it way down workshop is the only thing that's worse. I'm like, oh
no,
my God.
No. So bad.
Yeah. So just some other things. Gwen would tell people that you are going to be right with God because you're getting thinner. She told people who stopped losing weight that they were not saved. So again, think of the population you're working with. That is like a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into it, you know, like the people that joined the Remnant Church, is that what it's called?
Remnant Fellowship.
Remnant Fellowship. People that joined the actual church were very fundamentalist, and they literally created this whole population, like a literal neighborhood that people were allowed to buy houses in and live in. They created this whole community where like they just took all of the services and tradespeople that were part of the church and just created their own. Oh, you're a mechanic? Oh, well, why don't you be the mechanic through the church? And oh, you're a teacher? You can be the teacher through the church. And oh, you're a nurse? You can be the nurse through the church. So they created this like actual whole community and neighborhood. So now you're in an entire echo chamber. People couldn't leave because now they're financially tied in because their work is funded through the church. They're married to somebody who's a member of the church. They've got kids with somebody who's a member of the church. So they can't just leave because the church also became incredibly litigious to the point where there was a girl in the documentary who went to Gwen and said like, hey, I have this really horrible eating disorder and this diet is making it worse. And Gwen said, okay, well, if you leave, I'm going to sue you so badly, I will make sure that you will never see your kid again. Oh. And part of the thing for being in the church itself is you had to be part of the Way Down workshops. So this woman couldn't just, I mean, think of any other normal church or any other place of worship. You can come and go as you please. You can skip a Sunday. You have people and friends outside of that. You can switch churches. You can switch religions. You can do whatever you want. But with this level of control, people were actually getting stuck, and they were literally stuck going to these Way Down workshops. While they're there, while they're in this community, they're being told thinness is a sign of obedience. If you lose weight and bounce back, it's because you're not saved. Jesus doesn't save you. You're being too gluttonous. Like, that's horrifying. But you can't even leave this echo chamber once it got to that point because they're threatening to sue you. They're threatening to keep your children from you. They're threatening to keep your family from you. They're threatening, you know, oh, if you leave the church, well, there goes your job. And, you know, like, we're going to call your employee, the next employer's like it. The fact that the overarching thing on all of this was that your weight was like the backbone of this church and this cult and this community was, I've never seen anything like it before.
To have a diet turn into a church.
Yeah.
I would never have even guessed that that was a possibility,
right.
But oh my gosh, she just had this charisma. And I don't agree with anything that she did. I think she hurt a ton of people, but like people were drawn to her and she figured out that, especially in the South, if you wrap God up and faith up in this, like you've got a hold on people mm-hmm. and they'll do pretty much anything that you say. They show in the documentary, they show a bunch of clips of the actual church services and things like that. And yeah, everyone looks like clones of each other. They're all super thin. They go into a bunch of backstory in the actual documentary, but one of Gwen's kids, Michael, her son, kind of struggled with his weight. It went up, it went down. And whenever his weight was up, they would hide him mm-hmm. because that was a sign of he's not being holy. He's, you know, God isn't happy with him. When his weight was down, he'd be out there playing piano and like doing the songs with everyone. But then as soon as he'd gained some weight and it was noticeable, he was like shunned from yeah. the church. And then there are other, like, this sounds like it's made up, the things we're saying, but this is, it is just insane. Some of these testimonials, like this one woman said that they would set weight loss goals for per person for what they should lose every week. And for her, it was 2 pounds. And if she didn't lose more than 2 pounds in a week, she had to fast. She was talking about people who had been fasting for up to 40 days. She was talking about women who had lost over 100 pounds, but plateaued and stopped losing more than 2 pounds per week. And they were just told to continue to keep fasting. And the saddest thing for me was in, I believe it was the 5th episode of the series, the last episode. All of these women now talking about how when they've been out of Way Down and out of the church for 10 years, but they'll go and they'll sit down and eat a meal and they can't eat more than 4 bites. Mm-hmm. It's like a mental, physical thing. Their metabolisms have been so ruined by fasting so much, by hardly eating anything, that whether it's a mental and or physical thing, it's still affecting them 10 years later.
It's so sad how many lives I feel like this woman ruined. A couple other things that we want to bring up, because maybe you're just thinking, well, you know, this got taken out of context. Nope. These are the words from Gwen Shamblin's mouth. She went on an interview. She went on an interview, national TV, because this woman was famous. Like, she was doing the talk show circuit kind of early 90s. And people were buying. So, you know, it was her Way Down program, which she would contract out to. So any church in the country, and at one point there were thousands of churches that offer this. So you could basically like contract out your course and people would buy the course through their own church. Gwen would sort of go on the circuit and she'd go around to the different churches. But any church could buy this and have it be a part of like, you know, an extra thing that any of their congregation could join. She had a book. She had like a self-guided thing. So anyway, she was on like one of her press tours when this first all came out. And she was, I don't know if she thought that people just weren't believing that portion control can work, or like what the context of why she even said this. But she said very diligently and profoundly into the camera, when people were in prison camps, they ate less food, they lost weight, all of them. Oh. As if she was making some sort of profound statement of, look at all of the Holocaust victims. They were, it was like so disgusting. Deranged. Like the deranged, I did like the fact that that was a brought up as a positive.
And the reporter, whoever's talking to him, says, or talking to her, says something along the lines of, are you, she's basically like, are you really comparing like what you're doing with Way Down to Holocaust victims? Are you serious? And I forget if there, if she has a response, but.
Oh no, she doubled down. She goes,
oh God.
She doubled down. She goes, yeah, well, they all lost weight.
Oh, I hate it.
Like, that's the level of disgustingness that we're dealing with here. That, yeah. And so, and eventually, like, her PR person, like, took her off the stage. They're like, we're done here. I'm like,
get her out.
just the amount of value placed on thinness that quite literally, with that quote, any means necessary, by any means necessary, is essentially what she's saying. But again, the fact that this carried on, now she hasn't been in public on talk shows saying crazy shit like that for a while, but this program and that type of rhetoric continued until her death in 2021 and is still a program. You can still go onto the Way Down website and the first testimonial that pops up is, I tried bulimia and it was not nearly as effective as this program. You know, like, I guess just like the out and the openness of how fucked up this program is shocked me. Like most other diet programs, even the really bad ones we've looked at, try to hide under this guise of like, oh, you know, wellness and it's not a diet and blah, blah, blah. Nope. Gwen's just like, be as real thin as you can or God won't love you. Like, I'm right. Just like, holy shit. Okay.
So what's coming up for me is why do you think she cares so much? Why is a woman going to these great lengths to ensure that all of these people are not a healthy weight, but are rail thin?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wrap my head around that.
I mean, this is all speculation, but my guess is she probably didn't have a very healthy relationship with food on her own, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Unless she's a psychopath, I don't think that you go into her initial Way Down workshop first draft being like, I'm going to build this cult. I'm going to make sure everybody is like literally not eating. I'm going to, and like I said, there's other really messed up stuff that happens, like the way that they said to treat children and like basically allowing like you to beat them and like allowing spousal abuse and like all that kind of stuff. So I don't think she went into it like, this is the fucked up world I'm going to create. I do think it was probably just a slow evolution of, I'm going to combine weight loss and God. And then it was, oh, this is making a lot of money. This is really successful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to build a bigger community for this. Oh, this is making a lot of money. oh, I find that the more I can control people, the more money I'm making off of it. Like, I really think it was a massive money grab, but I think also with that, clearly she had some sort of issue with her own weight and self-esteem, like, in my opinion, that is driving her obsession with people's weights.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And if you haven't yet, I highly recommend everyone listening Googles Gwen Shamblin so you know, so you can put a face and hair to the name.
Hairdo to the name.
Yeah, it's, I'll leave it at that. But it's very evident that, and they talk about it in the documentary, but yeah, outward appearance was extremely important to her.
To the point that she even divorced her own husband for essentially not being thin enough.
Yeah, she had two kids with a husband who she'd been with for 40 years. But I guess he was always just in the background because he wasn't crazy thin. And he didn't buy into her crazy way down doctrine and all of that. So she divorced him and got remarried 2 months later, which again was up until that point. Getting divorced was really like frowned upon in her church. But then as soon as she did it, it was like, okay, it's just that sort of stuff happening.
Another story that we wanted to bring up is there was this woman who, so the cultic church that she created, basically, and this is so true of like every cult leader. It's like the rules apply to everybody but you, right? When you're the cult leader. So there was like a hierarchy of authority. Yeah, that's what she called it. So it was like God was number one, then Jesus, then church leaders who were all men except for her, because the man is supposed to be the leader of the church with an exception of her. Why? God speaks to her. And then it was the male of the household. So if you're a female in the church and you want to answer to a question, you have to ask your husband. If your husband doesn't know, the husband has to ask a church leader who's a male. If they don't know, they have to ask Gwen. And if Gwen doesn't know, she asks God. So that was the ladder of authority, if you will. But so the woman was a woman in the church was asking permission from her husband to drink a Starbucks drink. And the husband told her she could either have that or eat dinner, one or the other. This woman was so thin that she was hospitalized for an electrolyte imbalance. She was doing a race. She was doing like a 5K. She collapsed, went to the hospital, and her husband told her it happened because God was unhappy with her. That is what this program, this way down workshop turned into. It's so insane. And these were not stories. Like, I understand the program started and caught fire in like the early 90s. I understand that being a time for a program like this to become popular. But the story that that woman told happened recently. Like, this was happening in the 2020s. And the fact that she had such a hold on people for so long and in this day and age is insane to me.
You know, I was actually talking to Seb recently about this whole experience that these people had. And I really do feel like when people are in an environment where everyone around them firmly believes something, more often than not, I feel like you start acting and believing the things in your environment that you're exposed to. Like the saying goes, you know, you are a combination of the five people you spend your most time with. Like, I know this sounds crazy, everything we've talked about out of context, but I can see how people could get wrapped up in this. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, practically for us and everyone listening, you know, besides like obviously not joining this crazy church or this like way down workshop, is be really aware of what you surround yourself with, not just physically, but like on social media as well. And we've talked about this in the past, but if you're only seeing people who are rail thin and maybe they, you know, are unhealthy and things like this, it messes with your mind and makes you think that, you know, well, what's wrong with me? I should be more like that. This is what I see all day. So just being really careful about that.
Yeah. And I think another takeaway from this is obviously people don't show up day one and they lay it out there. this is how you'll be controlled, blah, blah, blah. People will be like, no, thank you. It's a slow progression of things, right? Like how you get from point A to ending up a member of this church, praying your hunger away. But I think a really big thing, and one thing that they brought up in the documentary, and this is true of any high control group, is if you feel like something's off and you can't express some dissent or question, that's a huge red flag. So if you are, because there's a lot of great health communities, but if you feel like you can't ask questions, you feel like, yeah, everyone's, in this example of Stepford Wives-y, but you know, if you just feel like everybody's sort of a clone of each other in this community, there's too much of an emphasis on one thing, that might be a red flag. And that's not to say like it always is going to be like a massive cult situation like it is here. But, right. You know, like health is going to look very different for everybody. So finding a community that allows you to be healthful in the way that works best for you. And maybe if that is different than other people in your community, that they can recognize that. And it's not all just this like one size fits all. And if you're not in this one size, like you better not ask questions. So in this example, you're a sinner and God has literally like, you are unsaved if you gain weight. That's such a like an extreme. Most things health-wise, general wellness, it's not life or death. If you don't lose 2 pounds, God will literally not let you into heaven. So if you're starting to experience, and again, if it's not a religious thing, it's not going to be that, but maybe it's like, if you don't lose 2 pounds, you need to punish yourself by running a marathon. Like, don't put food in your mouth again until you've walked 26.2 miles. There's stuff like that out there. There's programs like that out there. There's communities like that. There that out there. So just starting to sort of recognize sort of those earlier red flags of maybe this isn't an actual healthy community.
Yeah. So that's the story of Way Down and Remnant Fellowship Church, again, which both still exist, but we didn't want to leave everyone hanging with the whole Gwen story because she does have a really tragic ending and has nothing to do with nutrition, but I think it's just important to wrap things up. So yeah, she remarried a guy named Joe Lara, and gosh, they got remarried in 2018. And then in 2021, they were on a private jet that Joe was flying. They were with two other couples from the church and her son-in-law, and it ended up crashing and they all died. If you're interested in learning more about what we talked about today and just cults in general, it was kind of interesting in the documentary how they tied it all together and said the leaders in this church, whenever something bad happened to someone, they said, oh, that's God passing judgment, whether it's gaining weight or if it's, God forbid, like losing a child, blah, blah, blah. And then for something like this so bad to happen to all these people, no, I don't believe that's God passing judgment on them, but you know, it was a big blow to a church who truly believes, don't laugh, that truly believes that this is, you know, only bad things happen to bad people. Yeah. So, but it's still around. And they have, if you really want to dive deep, like Marie and I did, Remnant Fellowship still has their a website up and they have a whole, this is our response to the HBO documentary. And it's, you know, everything you would expect, but it's up there if you want to see that. But that's, we'll leave it at that.
Well, Emily, would you say that the Way Down workshop and diet plan is BS?
Oh, God, yes. I don't know if we've had an episode yet with so many absolutely insane quotes. Like,
yeah.
Like the word for word insanity that comes out of the documentary and the website is just crazy.
And again, this is not like people said that she said, this is like clips of her on national television saying these things.
Yeah.
These are her words.
Oh my God. Yes. So easy BS stamp. Everything about starving yourself, taking 4 bites, praying when you have a craving, like throw all that right out the window. But It is based in intuitive eating and portion control, which I think is a very healthy and a great way to approach eating if that works for you. Some people like tracking calories and knowing what they're eating, and if that works for you, awesome. Some people like doing intermittent fasting, and if that works for you, great. Listen to our episode for more information on that. But intuitive eating is something we haven't really dove into too much, and there's a lot of resources out there around intuitive eating. So basically what it means is eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're full, which sounds like duh. But when you really get into it, it's something that many of us have lost that art of recognizing what it feels to be hungry and what it feels to be full, and taking the time to actually check in before we eat, while we're eating, after we're eating, and seeing where our body is. So there's books out, there's a book, I think it's just called Mindful Eating, that I had to read in college. That was kind of my first introduction to intuitive eating, but I'm all about it if you can do it right. Like, don't make it crazy like Gwen did, but I love the idea of getting back in touch with our bodies and eating when we're hungry and noticing when we're full and trusting that our bodies will tell us. There's a graphic that we'll use sometimes as dietitians called the hunger and fullness scale. And maybe I'll post it on the Instagram. I will. I'll do that this week so everyone can see it. But it's just a good way to put numbers to feelings and recognize, like, we don't want to get too hungry. We don't want to get too full, but staying in this zone is typically where we want to go. That is an alternative. Intuitive eating is an awesome approach that does work for a lot of people. It's just a very different approach than typical, you know, all of the diets that we talk about, or a different approach than tracking all of your food. But I think it's a good skill to have.
Yeah. And one way that I think that this Way Down program, well, obviously in many ways, it veered very far off from intuitive eating. I guess kind of at its core, it was, at least when it started, in just like portion control, I would say it was more just a portion control thing. But one thing about intuitive eating that Gwen did not hit on from day one, again, besides all the obvious crazy, is her philosophy was like, eat whatever you want. And she even recommended, we didn't really get into this, but she recommended that you start with your favorite foods, but only take like a couple bites. Whereas a big part of intuitive eating is recognizing what foods make you feel good. So a lot of people think intuitive eating and they're like, oh, well, if I intuitive eat, like, my intuition is telling me to eat cake all day long, you know, or like, that's what I'm craving.
Right.
Part of intuitive eating is too big of a portion of that is going to make me feel like shit, and recognizing that. So that's a big part of her thing that I was not anywhere close to intuitive eating, because intuitive eating is like, you know, whatever those foods are for you, whether it's primarily plant-based foods or if it's animal proteins or whatever it is that you feel nourished and good after eating, and allowing for treats. But also part of that intuition is, if I sit here and eat Reese's cups all day long, I will feel like shit. And so I'm not going to do that. I feel like Gwen's philosophy was eat only Reese's, but eat them one at a time and only have two total per day. And that's all you get. And then pray all the rest of the time that you're hungry.
Right. Like, she, everything she learned becoming a dietitian, she like truly threw out of the window and did everything opposite, where in reality, there is a place in between where we use intuition, listen to our body, but also learn exactly what you said, Marie, like, have that good balance. That's what balance is all about. So yeah, that was the crazy roller coaster of a story of Way Down and Gwen Shamblin. And yeah, like I said, if you want to learn more, there's, I think, a Hulu movie and a HBO series. There's all sorts of stuff you can watch. I found it very interesting, very upsetting and disappointing, but interesting nonetheless. So yeah. Thank you for listening to yet another podcast. And we always love hearing from our listeners. So if you have questions, comments, suggestions on topics, you know how to get a hold of us on Instagram or our website. But until next time, I'm Emily.
And I'm Marie.
And don't let the BS get the best of you.